Okay, we're picking up the Gemara in Lamed Gilmud Aleph, the words of Mai Taima de Rebbe. Just to remind ourselves where we are holding is a little bit of the middle of the Shaka Vataria. So just Rav Papa, the Gemara is trying to prove this long Shaka Vataria just to prove that Rav Papa retracted his statement on Abba Shal. That basically Abba Shal, again, Rav Papa wanted to originally suggest that you're going to be chayav whether you have two conditions, whether you have the Shavu Pruta or Kazayas. And then we're admitting that that Rav Papa was chozer and understood b'das Abba Shal that one is going to be chayav to pay totally based on the fact if it's Shavu Pruta, if it was Shavu Pruta, it's going to be chayav. If it's not, you're not going to be chayav, even if it was a kezias. Now the Gemara had the long this whole shaka vitaria of asking. We say v'chata b'shkaga is prat lamezid, and someone is not going to be chayav me'ila if he does it on purpose. And the Gemara asks, wait a second, isn't there a kava chomer? So the Gemara says that we have a kava chomer from the Yisurei Kares, that if Yisurei Kares are bemezid, so then kava chomer are chiv misa. And the Gemara went back that said maybe chiv misa is worse, and we got into whether or not a chiv misa b'yishamayim is worse than a chiv Kares, and we ended up answering that really Chiyuv Kares seems to be Lefi Rashi. This is the way Rashi was explaining the Shaka Vataria, that Kares is in fact more severe than Misa B'dei Shemayim because it has a twofold penalty. So therefore, over here we had a reason to assume that that would be the Kava Chomer. And then we continued and we said that that we quoted the Rabbi Rav Sheshes, Shadar Mar Garga, they destroyed the Kava Chomer because now turning on to our Amad now, but Mashamas Lev Amar, Hezer Mila is Rebihi. So who holds that someone who's chayav me'ila is going to be misa b'dei shemayim? That's Rebbe, Desanya, hezid b'me'ila, Rebbe amar meisav chamim amar azhara. So the Rebbe holds that someone who violates me'ila is going to be chayav misa b'dei shemayim, and the chachamim hold you are going to be chayav only an azhara. So now the Gemara continues now, with Rabbi and Rav Sheshes are continuing. My time at the Rebbe, now what's the reasoning of Rebbe saying that someone who violates me'ila is going to be chayav misa b'dei shemayim? Amar Rabbi Abao, gamar chayt chayt mitruma. Rebbe learned out the halacha from a non-kohen who eats truma through gzeirah shava of chet chet, and therefore me'ila and truma, you have gzeirah shava from these two words. So the words of v'lo yisu alav chet is reference to truma, v'cholzar lo yuchal chet rather is me'ila, and v'cholzar lo yuchal kodesh is referring to a non-kohen eating kohen. So we're having the gzeirah shava of the word chet teaching us that someone who has them in a state matzur b'misa, that just like someone who has truma is going to be chiyav misa b'dei shemayim, as the pasuk says explicitly, v'lisav chet umesubo, which is talking about you're going to be chayav misa b'dei shemayim. Af me'ila b'misa so too, when it comes to me'ila, someone is going to be chayav misa b'dei shemayim. Menad, through this gzir shava, we can conclude ma truma b'kazayis. So therefore, truma is going to be an olive size, it's going to be chazayis. Af me'ila b'kazayis so too me'ila is going to be a kazayis. That's the minimum shir, that you're going to be chayav misa b'dei shemayim with regards to truma, and so to the minimum shir when it comes to the shir of minimum shear for the share of me'ila. So the point for us, though, that we're just bringing over here, that you're trying to target that Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin is trying to argue that Bryce is talking about someone who's chayav misa for me'ila, even less than a kazayis. You've told me that that can't be true. Rabbi and Rav Sheshes just disproved Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin's explanation of the Bryce, because here we're talking about only be kazayis. So therefore, the Gemara defends Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin. So the Gemara says, "Umaski for Rav Papa, Rav Papa challenged this of Rabba Rav Sheshes in the Braisa." So what did Rav Papa answer? He said, maybe this Braisa isn't a Maida, the Rebbe Karabanan's relay. Who holds the Rebbe, holds like the Rabbanan that you need a Kazayas with regards to the amount that you have to have to be Chayav Me'ila? Maybe a Dimal de Abba Shaul's relay. Maybe Rebbe holds like Abba Shaul, the Amar Yesh B'Shave Pruta, Afagav de Leis B'Kazayas. According to Abba Shaul, who hold that all the whole Iker is that if you have a value of a Pruta, that's enough. If it doesn't have the volume of a Shave Pruta, even if there's a Kazayas, you're not going to be Chayav the Chomesh. So therefore, with regards to Truma also, Abba Shaul is going to tell you they're going to Chayav Misa B'Shemayim, even if he has less than a Kazayas. And so that's what we're learning out, B'Das Rav Papa. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Rav Papa is now suggesting that Abba Shaul held that all you need is a Shave Pruta, even you have less than a kazayas. That was why we brought this whole complicated shakla vataria. Vahara papa damar daba shal tarti by it. But wasn't Rav Papa himself the one who held bidas abba shal that you required both conditions? So how could he say that over here that all you need is the shavet pruta? So the Gemara says you're right. Elish shmamina, we go back. Shmamina hadarbe, that really Rav Papa retracted his original statement. And that was the long shakla vataria from the beginning of Lama Bez Amud Bez in the middle of the Amud. That whole shakla vataria that we had right now, we kind of ended up in the middle yesterday, was to get to this point that Rav Papa rejects his own understanding originally of Abba Shaul, that you required both the Shavet Pruta and a Pagos Mekazayas, and Kazayas rather, and he requires only Bedas Abba Shaul, that if it's a Shavet Pruta, even if it's less than a Kazayas, it's still going to be Chayav, and that's his Geder Kol Kulo. Okay, so then, having mentioned the machlokas between Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak and Rav Chiya Bar Avin, the Braisa now continues two different explanations of this rejection of the Kal V'Chomer. Why do I need the pasuk to tell me you're going to be chayav meila if you did it by shogig v'dap amazing? So the Gemara says, Mar Bar Ravina Amar, why don't we have the Kal V'Chomer? Mar Bar Ravina Amar, Hachli Ka Amar. So this is why we can't learn out from a Kal V'Chomer. Again, the Gemara was asking, why don't we just learn out a Kal V'Chomer if you're going to be chayav? When it comes to Kari, so Kal V'Chomer going to be chayav when it comes to, Truma and someone has someone is going to be chayav with regards to when it comes to hektesh, when someone has meila behektesh. So the Gemara says, "Lo imar b'shar mitzvah shelo'asa behen she'in misat kaven kemiskaven." So you're going to say by other mitzvos that with regards to other commandments such as Shabbos, which the Torah doesn't tell you that when it comes to shogeg amazed, it is going to be different. Shemiskaven lachos the talis shachat is mechuber shepater. Someone intended on Shabbos to cut, he goes to the ground and he thought the flower was already removed from the ground, getting to the shaila of its muksa, whatever. So taking up the flower, you thought it was completely detached, and you picked it up, and you realized you didn't. It was not in fact detached. It was attached. So therefore, you're going to be putter. You're not going to be chayav because it's melechesh machsheves asur Torah that you have to only going to be chayav for a melacha in which you actually had in mind you're doing it. With regards to, there's a chumrah though, in regards to me'ila, that even if you thought you're going to be warming yourself with the shearings of chulin, but instead you were accidentally warming yourself with an orla, which is considered to do me'ila, that would not be the case. So we're saying over here, the case of the two bundles of wood in hand, one is chulin, one is an orla. Or I was getting confused. It's an ola. So someone is going to be chayev, and when it comes to an ola, that is hektish. If you've done that, me'ila is more machmer. So we see that even acts done unintentionally are going to be more machmer with regards to the fact that you're going to be chayev me'ila. Therefore, we're more machmer, and therefore you can't learn out the kal v'chomer. That was the first understanding of why we need the pasuk. Why do you need a pasuk to tell me that only b'shogeg is chayev me'ila? Because there's a chumrah. There's a chumrah by me'ila. It doesn't apply to other halachas like Hilchos Shabbos, that me'ila is going to be chayev even with a much less an intentional act. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he takes it even further. He says, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak amar hachi kamar, lo imar b'shar mitzvos shekein lo mischayev behen she'ein misasik kemisasik. That even someone, misasik is someone who literally is doing completely a different action. Like for example, the classic example is on Shabbos. Let's say I'm leaning against the wall and then my back hits the light. That's misasik. That's something that's not even considered davar shein miskaven. That's not even considered a shogig. That's even beyond shogig. That's a shaila. That's a famous shaila in the Achronim. Do you need to do tshuva for misasik? Is it not even remotely connected back to your action? Is it literally like I was just on the wall? I turned on the light. It had nothing to do with my action. I was just sitting on the wall. I didn't even know there was a light there. So how can you tell me that's something I need to do tshuva for? There's a famous Rabbi Akiva Eiger where he says that you need to do tshuva for misasik. You're not going to be chayav a korban, meaning it's so pater that you're not even chayav a korban chatas. You're not even chayav bishogeg if you did a malachim with misasik. Misasik is something which is far removed from another action that you weren't even intending to do an action whatsoever. And generally, you're going to be pater from a korban as well. So when it comes to shniskavn, like based on talash shechata chazam akubar shabbatatam, someone intended on Shabbos to just pick up something detached. He picked up something attached to the ground. The lacha is going to be pater from a chatas. So he agrees that when it comes to meila, that you have to have something in a calculated manner. If he disagrees with marbar of rabbana, whatever, what exactly do you need melachas machshavas? How far you have to go? So therefore, he's understanding that this is the case that you go for, that when it comes to this point, tamar b'meila she'imo shit yada l'kli litol chepetz v'sach yada b'shamon shakodesh shemal. He holds that even in this case of misasik, where the person reached out to a kli to grab something, instead he was staking out his hand and intentionally he was planning on getting something, but he came back and he had a thing of oil and of oil of hektish, which is completely a misasik. That is not intending to remove an article of hektish, and the act was completely unintended. That's called misasik, and still you're going to be chayav. So we're saying over here that at the end of the day you're going to be misasik and still going to be chayav me'ila, and that's much more machmir, and therefore we have a chumrah, and that's why you need the pasuk to tell me that you can't learn out me'ila from a kal v'chomer from other psukim that you need to be shogig. That's what the Gemara comes on to right now. Now the Gemara goes back to the Braisa, analyzing the chametz, that you have chametz that we quoted before in Lamed Beis, that if you have chametz that which case is there machlokes, whether it regards to truma can become chametz, is if you had the truma and then it became chametz. However, very chametz, A truma, if it already was chametz, and you take the truma off, then divrei kol, even to Rabbi Yosef Lili, we're pointing out, that was what we mentioned before, that even Rabbi Yosef Lili says that there is such a nab b'pesach, you cannot take this truma off. Divrei kol eina kedusha, it's not chal as truma whatsoever. And now the Gemara wonders, why not minan amilei, according to Rabbi Yosi? Why would this be so? Amar Nachman Yitzchak, Amar Kra, because there's a pasuk that he agrees with. The drasha says, titein lo, that you should give the pasuk with regards to truma, reishit d'chan d'rushcha v'chan titein lo. The pasuk says that you should give the beginning first of the crops to the kohen, and titein lo v'lo la'uro, you give it to him, which implies that he's to be able to eat it, and not to his fire, meaning that he has to burn it right away, he's not allowed to hanah from it. So therefore, since the chametz is only fit for burning at this point, even b'das Rabbi Yosef Glili, so then it's not something that's chal, truma, and therefore you're not allowed to give this as a kohen, it's not chal as truma. So the Gemara says, Mesiv Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua. Rav Yoshua has a question on the Mishnah though. Ein Tormin Min HaTmeya LaTahora. Someone should not take off Truma Tmeya, that's Truma from Tahor, because at the end of the day, if you take off Truma Tmeya for Truma Tahora, there's nothing that a kohen could do with the Tmeya Truma. So at the end of the day, so that's a style if this is an Isra Deraisa or not. But either way, Lamaisa, you're not allowed to do that. V'im Tarem B'shogeg Trumaso Truma. But if you do it accidentally, so then it is, you didn't realize that the produce was Tamei, then the Truma is Chal, even though it's Tmeya right now. Oh, says the Gemara, why don't we say the same drasha v'amai, lema lo v'lo la'ora? Why don't we say the Tana should say that it should be for him and not for his fire? So we should tell him that it should not become truma at all, because at the end of the day, it's truma tmeya. Truma tmeya has no usage for the kohen. He has nothing. It's completely bustle. It's completely tamei. You're not allowed to do anything. The kohen's not allowed to have it, to eat it. So therefore, why don't we say the same drasha? So the Gemara answer is lo kasha, hasam haisa lo shasa kosher, because with regards to truma that was tmeya, fundamentally at one point, it was tahor, and then it became tamei, so therefore we don't say lo 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 oro. So therefore, we're talking about a case where the moment you picked it up and becoming truma, the produce could have become truma, and therefore it can have the status of truma, and lo 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 oro would not be the drasha, it would not apply. Hacha lo yisa lo shasa kosher, but with regards to truma of chametz, it does not have any moment where it was rawi. It was chametz the entire Pesach, and therefore from the onset of Pesach starting, it is going to be the lacha that you, truma was tmeya, and truma was rather chametz, and therefore it is nothing that was ever chal, and therefore it was never allowed to be truma. So the Gemara says, as a question, so wait a second though, how do I have a possibility where it's never at one moment fit for usage? So the Gemara says, so I'll tell you how. Meaning, because again, why don't you say that it was, you take off the wheat, it wasn't chametz yet, and then it became chametz, so there was a shasa kosher, so the same thing, the truma should be chal. So the Gemara answers, kigon de'ich bitz b'mechumar. We're talking about a case where the produce became chametz while it's still attached to the ground. Since the truma may not be taken off from the produce while it's still attached to the ground, the produce never had even a moment of shasa kosher, and therefore was never kosher at all. It was always chametz, and therefore cannot become truma. Aval ich mitz betalo shachanami dikacha, but if the produce became chametz while detached to the ground, it can in fact become truma, even as chametz, since it has a shasa kosher. So the Gemara says that really true though. So the Gemara answers, yeah, Amar Lei, Rav Nachman Yitzchok said, in, yeah, the Braisa can be telling you that that it became chametz while attached to the ground, and that's the case of the Braisa. V'gzeres irim piskama b'maimar kedishin she'elasa. This is a pasuk in Daniel. The pasuk in Daniel, we're recording over here, that something had been, literally been difficult, and it was decided by angels, and the ruling is word by the holy ones. So we're saying over here, according to this pasuk of Daniel, this is the pasuk is talking about Nebuchadnezzar's dream, in which an angel appeared before him and had a heavenly decree. Now, Chetzukuk is meaning that the term the angel is referring to the Talmid Chachamim Rashi, who are like Malachim. It's a very nice idea that, you know, that a person who learns Torah from his Rebbe should be, the Gemara's Lashon should be Doma L'malach Hashem Tavakos. See, when you're learning Torah from your Rebbe, if your Rebbe is a Bakish Torah Mepiyo, that if a person wants to ask Torah from your Rebbe should be for you, for someone who you see as angelic. If it's not someone who's angelic, you should find someone else who is angelic. So a person has a very big achrayos to make sure that he finds the right Rebbe who looks to him as like he's mamash like an angel. Either way, so V'chein Morin B'vei Midrash HaKavasi in the Rabbanan in the base Midrash, they also say this. They also explain this way that's how it goes. So Rav Huna, Rav Yoshua now wanted to disagree. He holds that the Braisa is talking about a case of chametz that became chametz after. So then, how is he going to explain the Braisa? Ki asa Rav Huna Breider of Yoshua. When Rav Huna Breider of Yoshua came, he explained Amar Kra Reishis. The pasuk says Reishis, the beginning of the gathered gain, which implies Shishiyareh Nikarin LeYisrael. It remains distinguishable for a Yisrael, meaning that at this point, referring to Reishis, it implies that the shiraim, the remains, have to be something which is separated by truma. Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yoshua, is learning out from here that we're creating that the shiarim need to be truma, has to be fit, and has to be remained fit even when you're taking it off. And that is over here, is that thing that is going to be yatzazo, that this is going to come to exclude any truma which ain't shirnikrim, which doesn't have remaining parts which are distinguishable. They are going to be something which is usher for the coin to take. It's not distinguishable for the coin anymore. At that point, that is going to be a problem. And therefore, if the truma was taking off when it was already chametz, at that point, then it's not distinguishable for the coin, in which case you are not going to be chal, even v'das Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And therefore, we learn from over here, you can't see a significant change, and therefore it would become problematic and not become charming even b'das Rabbi Yosef Glil. Now the Gemara wants to say machlokas amoraim with regards to the hemshech of the brisa. Yosef Rav Acha Brei Rav Ivya Kamei Rav Chista Yosef Amar Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan Anavim Shenitmu. If you have grapes that became tamei, so this is an interesting sugya over here. If the grapes became tamei again, so then what happens? Anavim Dorchad Pachas Machas Mekadetsa. If you press them less than an olive's amount at a time, Vienan kasher l'nesachin, and their wine is going to be kasher even to use in nesachin, the libations on the mizbeach, because even though they were coming originally from grapes which are tamei, the fact that they are being squeezed out less than kazayis, that means that it's never going to be susceptible to tuma. And Tosos point out that this is regards to hechsher. There's a machlokas fundamental rishonim, is that when we say that something is less than a kabetza, is it also not able to become tamei, or also not impart tuma? Is it even not able to become tamei? So Tosos, I think, is of the opinion generally that it is able to become tamei. Here they say that even for hechsher, though, everyone agrees that if it's pachas b'chalas gezayis, if it's less than an amount of an olive, then it's something that which would be not become susceptible to tuma. It would not be a machshir with regards to becoming susceptible to tuma. Now the Gemara says that if you do it less than that, the Gemara says alma kasavar mashkim mifkad pakide. Rabbi Yochanan is understanding that the juice of the grapes is not judged that it's absorbed within the fruit, rather it's something that's contained by it, like the liquids that fill a container. It can never become tamei within the grape. That is the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. That is what he's understanding, that the juice coming out is going to be something, even though it's in contact with the grape, it's not something that is going to be by the grape inside. The Gemara says le'emas kame tamei. So the juice of the grapes, when do they become tamei? L'chisach elu, when the grapes are squeezed. L'chisach elu leis l'shura. In the case, however, when one squeezes the grapes less than an olive's amount, less than a kazayas, then it's never going to be susceptible to tuma, because each time you're squeezing it, as Rabbi Yochanan is telling you, you have less than a kazayas, and then therefore you don't have a problem. When the juice is coming out, it comes into contact with all the grapes, thereby them, they're going to be viewed as one single entity, and therefore, since they're less than a kazayas, it's not a problem according to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara has a question on this. The Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, that the reason the juice is going to be tar is because the food is less than a kazayas, kibetza nami, so then if it is exactly the amount of a kibetza, the exact amount of an egg, so then also in that case, if it's exactly the amount of an egg's volume, then that means that the juice included with it is going to be less than that, because you have with the juice and the because when you start squeezing it out, you're going to have less than that. This nine, the Mishnah tells you. The Mishnah tells us, "Tamei meish shesafa zeisim v'navim kibetza mechavanes tahorim." If they're exactly the amount of an egg, the juice that's coming out of them is not going to be tamei, because immediately when you squeeze them out, it's going to be less than an egg, and therefore it's going to be less than a shear of a kibetza, in which case it's not susceptible to tuma. So why then does Rabbi Yochanan tell you that your limit is going to be at the size of a kibetza? It should be a little bit, it should be aradachah, you should have the kibetza as well. And if it's exactly a kibetza, the Mishnah should l'chora be telling you that it's mutter. So the Gemara answers, hasa diava. No, they're talking about the squeezing in a chanami. Yes, we agree, that's already where it's done. And therefore it's telling you that the grapes, we're equivalent to a shear of a kibetza, the exact shear of an egg's volume, that's going to be tahor. Halcha lechatchila, but Rabbi Yochanan is telling you the din of what you're supposed to do in lechatchila, an initial way to do it. That's only b'diavad. B'diavad means where after the fact you've done it in that situation, it's going to be okay. But we're going to tell you what's the proper manner that you should do it lechatchila, the best way possible. In this, under the circumstance, is you should have it specifically less than a kibetza. Why? Because of the obvious problem. Zero dilmasna meviosa kibetza. If you have an exact shear of a kibetza within the centimeters, it's gonna be very obvious, it's very, not obvious, but very easy for a person to get confused and have a little bit more than the shear of kibetza, which is metame, in which case you would have a major problem. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan wants to avoid that issue, and he's telling you that's only bidyevid, that you should dafka leave it under the shear of a kibetza, because we are gonna afraid that you're gonna come to use it more than a shear of kibetza, obviously, if you let people have it with the exact amount. So then the Gemara continues. So Rav Chista disagrees with Rav Yochanan. Amar Rav Chista, man tayis lechad Rav Yochanan Rabach. Who's going to listen to Rav Yochanan with regards to this ruling? V'chi tumah shebehen leichan alcha, for the tumah of these juices, when they're squeezed out from the grapes, where do they go? His lashon Rav Chista hold that the juice within the grapes become tameh along with the grape. He therefore is asking, how is it that the tumah came upon the juice, removing, is going to be not going to be a problem by squeezing them out? So the Gemara says, So Alma Kasavar Mashkin Mivla Bali. Apparently, Reb Chista holds that the juice in the grapes is not contained by the fruit, but is absorbed into the actual grape itself. Even the itamale ochla, itamale mashkin. As soon as the food became tame, the juice also became tame as well. It therefore cannot be used for the nesachim, rather the libations on the mizbeach, and therefore it would be a problem. So Reb Acha Bar Avia now wants to ask on Reb Chista. Amar Lei. So Reb Acha Bar Avia asked on Reb Chista ve'at latizbra. Mashkin mifka pikide, and you don't hold that the juice of the grapes is inside the fruit. Vatnan, didn't the Mishnah say seemingly explicitly like Rabbi Yochanan? Tamei meis shesacha zeisim v'anavim. If you have someone who is an avatuma, he's a tamei meis, so he came in contact with a dead body, either in an ol or ever, which way he touched it. So then, if he becomes a tamei meis, kimichuvenes kibeta tahorin. If the olives or grapes are squeezed exactly the amount of an egg, then the juices coming out of them are not going to be tamei. Iamar bishlam mifka pikide mishum hachik tahorin. Now, if you submit the juice of the grapes containing the fruit is going to be part of the juices or tahor, then I'll understand it. Ella i'amrit mivla bali am I tahor? But if you understand that it's absorbed into the fruit, so why the juice is tahor? The tamei meis is the one squeezing it out. The moment that he's squeezing them out, according to you, it should contaminate the juice along with the fruit. So the Gemara answers, Amar Leir, Rav Chista responded, Hachav Mayaskina, with what are we dealing with over here? But Anovim Shalom Hilkshir, we're dealing with grapes that have not yet become susceptible to Tumah, and they're being squeezed out. So therefore, since they're not susceptible to Tumah yet, they didn't have the Shiva Samashkin fall on them. So therefore, it's not going to be Metame. Le'imas Miskashir. So when do these grapes become susceptible to Tumah, according to what I said? Le'chisachilu, when you actually squeeze them out, when you're squeezing them out, Kisachilu, Batu Leshura, but as soon as you squeeze them out, they're going to become less than a share of a kazayat, of a kibetza rather, a volume of an egg. And therefore, it's not going to be enough to make them susceptible to tumah, since they are exactly the amount of a shear of a kibitza. Therefore, the tameh is when he is squeezing them out, is not able to be metameh them because they're less than the shear at the moment where I'm squeezing them out. And that is what we're explaining to answer for this sheet over here. In this case, the grapes therefore are not going to have the shear, and therefore they're not going to become tameh. So the Chista continues the ilo teimahachi. So if you don't explain this way in the Mishnah, then hadisanya or in general my shita that the fruit is becoming tameh along with the juice inside of it. Hadisanya the brayso which just mehalamazadomer. What is the case of the chametz truma similar to latrumas tutim zeisim vanavim shenitma? Or to get the word zeisim. So either way, with regards to the mulberries, the strawberries, whatever you want to tell, the grapes or truma that became tameh, she'en lo ba lo heter achila v'lo heter asaka, which the kohen neither has permission to consume it or burn it. We see from this brisa that there is no mutter way which the kohen can have tameh grapes of truma. Ha'heter achila nami isbe, but according to you, the kohen has a way of eating this fruit to eat bai, because if he wants to, darach le pachas pachas v'gazayas, he is allowed to press them on the ground, each one less than a gazayas at a time, in which case they're not going to become tameh, and therefore, and the drink is juice, it's going to be mutter, it's going to be mutter. Why did the Braisa tell you that there's no heter achila? Apparently the Braisa holds that this isn't a valid method, as you would suggest, according to your shita. So how is Rabbi Yochanan going to answer this question? And where I answer is, Amarava, gzera, dilmaase, beuli de takala. No, really, anachanami, this actually would be a valid method, but here we have a gzera derabanan forbidding you to squeeze out this tamei truma because a person might come to squeeze it out by accident and, come to eat it rather, while squeezing it out, and therefore it's going to be a problem. The Gemara says, "I'm really abaye michashin takala." Is that really true, though? In this case, there'd be a gzera derabanan. We're afraid that you're going to come to eat this truma tmeya v'atanya. But when we have a brisa, we're telling you, "Madlikin bepasiv b'shemet shel truma shenitmes." Kohanim have the right to burn bread or oil of truma that became tame, and they're allowed to derive benefit from it. Why don't we assume that there's takala? They're going to come to eat the bread. Or they're going to come to eat the olive oil, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara answers, "I'm really." Rav responds for Rabbi Yochanan, pass zarek lebena etzim. When it comes to the bread, you're throwing it amongst the firewood where it's going to become dirty, and therefore it's going to be disgusting to eat, and we're not afraid you're going to come to eat it. And also, shemen shel truma rami lebeklimas. Also, we saw this earlier. In regards to truma oil, you have to put it into a disgusting kli. That was why we had the ziluf, right? Remember, if you were sprinkling the truma, we said that was a shaila. It's only where it is. That was machlokas b'shamay b'beis Hillel. When we're gozer on that, because there, the whole purpose was to smell good. We're afraid you actually might come to eat it. when, as opposed to over here, where you're putting it specifically in a kli that will smell very pungent, very bad, and therefore you're not going to come, we're not going to be afraid that you're going to come to eat the shemen. That's what we're saying over here, and therefore there's a fundamental difference between these two types of tekala. Now the Gemara goes back to analyze. Gufa, let's go analyze what we just said. Madlikim et pasav shemen shel truma shenitme. So you can light a fire with bread of oil or truma that has become tamei. Abaya amar mishmei dechizkia, abaya says the name of chizkia, v'rav amar devei rebbe yitzchak bar amar huna. Lo shanu elapas. The Rabbana only teaches halacha with regards to bread, which becomes disgusting when thrown in the firewood. Aval chitei lo, but with regards to wheat kernels of truma that became tamei, no one's going to say they're not allowed to fire with them. Shema yavole de takala, because in that case, we're afraid you're going to come to accidentally eat them. Rabbi Yochanan Rafilu Chit, Rabbi Yochanan says that even with regards to wheat kernels of truma that become tamei, you can also use them to light a fire. Vamai, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, Nichash Dimon Asabi de takala, why are we afraid that you're going to be burning them? So the Gemara answers, Kedama Rav Ashi, because this is like where Ravashi said elsewhere, Bishalikasa omisasa. Bishaleka umisasa, that if you have specifically with these kernels of wheat that you first boiled them and they made them smell terrible and therefore you're never going to come to eat them, they were disgusting, and then you could throw them as firewood. Hachanami bishalikasa umisasa, if you're here too, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he's talking about a case, when are you allowed to have benefit from the wheat? When you're beginning with the wheat kernels, when you first boil them and make them disgusting, and then you're throwing them into the firewood. At that point, Rabbi Yochanan therefore would not be afraid of takala, of a person coming to eat it, because again, the whole point is when something is disgusting for you to eat, you're never going to come to eat it. Now the Gemara says, "Vehechi itmar der Rav Ashi." And where was Rav Ashi's explanation said over? When did we first have this halacha? Ahad amar Ravavin Baruchi amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rav Ashi said it in the context of the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. Abba Shaul Gabal shall be Rabbi Haya. Abba Shaul was he used to knead the dough in Rabbi's house. I guess it wasn't a feminine job yet. That's what his job was, to knead the dough in Rabbi's house. And they would use heated water with a fire that was wheat kernels of truma, which was tmeya, and apparently they would buy these wheat kernels from the kohanim, and they would use it lalush ben esin b'tahara, and they would use that water that they heated up to knead dough in a state of tahara. And so then the Gemara asks them, but wait a second, why were they afraid to use these kernels of truma tmeya? Why weren't they afraid that there was going to be a problem? Nichosh dilma asibula de takala, let them be concerned that maybe that these kernels are going to come to eat them accidentally. So the Gemara answers, Amar Ravashi bishe likosa umisasa. So this answer is how we're using to answer Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi also did this. He would use the boiled he would boil these kernels first and therefore made them disgusting, in which case there was no more chash that someone would accidentally come to eat them. So therefore, we have no chash by Rabbi Yochanan as well. He was not afraid that someone would come to eat them. Okay, Pirka Birz Hashem, Abaye Bar Avin, Rabbi Chanina, Bez Hashem tomorrow.